It looks like Gitmo is moving to Illinois as a memo was leaked to the media. I'll give you all the details on that one. Meanwhile, an NPR reporter is in the trenches with the guys in Afghanistan and talks about just how difficult it is with the new rules of engagement. I'll tell you a little bit about some of the stuff that I heard him mention on the air. And it's much of what we've been talking about on America Tonight, how hard it has to be when you're in those situations. And it's even harder than I thought. Speaking of hard, it's hard for the game of golf, although, boo-hoo, we're not crying big tears for these fat cats at some of these country clubs. But the networks are losing money right and left because when Tiger's not involved in a tournament, people aren't watching as much. And for the advertisers who have branded themselves with a guy like Tiger Woods, it's now become apparent that he's too risky and he's persona non grata at this point. But he's stepping away from golf indefinitely, as he said in a note on his website on Friday. But we're certainly not going to focus on Tiger Woods here on America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Maybe you had a chance to chill, grab the kids, go do something, the grandkids, or hang out with your buddies, whatever it is that you were doing. I hope that you were living big. That's the idea, because you never know what the next day will bring, do you? That's part of the deal in Copenhagen. A lot of what's coming out of Copenhagen is, whoa, listen, there's problems. There's problems when it talks about the retreating of glaciers. The water supply in a place like Bolivia is massively threatened. And it's a question of whether you think it's a trick or you think that some of what is being discussed is right on. I've talked with enough people in my own circle. They're either all about global warming and it's true and how can you think it's not, or they think, like I do, everything is for sale. Everything can be manipulated. And then we're always so stunned when we get hoodwinked. And we can't believe it. We can't understand. But there was that data. There was that information. I'm willing to give anyone a fair shake, and we've done that. We've done that a couple of times on America Tonight in the last couple of years. But I'm not willing to pay for stuff that I feel some of it is bogus, especially when I hear these things that are on the heels of cap and trade that flew through the House but no way would get through the Senate. And I worry desperately about the middle guy. What about everybody in the middle? Not the person making millions of dollars, but the person who might be making an okay living, a decent middle-class living, or somebody trying to make a decent living. How squeezed are they going to get? And truly, I think it will more than trickle down. I don't care if they say numbers like, well, it's for the person making $500,000. It just never turns out that way, and we know that because how many times have many of us been burned with it? So here's what one congresswoman said. This was her response to, okay, we're going to make our way to Copenhagen, but we have a different story to tell, and here's what she had to say.
If President Obama has his way, the Copenhagen conference will produce mandatory emissions limits that will destroy millions of American jobs and damage our economic competitiveness for decades to come. To comply with this UN brokered agreement, Washington Democrats want to impose a cap and trade national energy tax, a bureaucratic nightmare that would make households, small businesses, and family farms pay higher prices for electricity, gasoline, food, and virtually every product made in America. This legislation is currently making its way through the Senate after passing the House of Representatives in June. President Obama himself has said that as a result of this national energy tax, electricity prices would, and I quote, necessarily skyrocket. His own Department of Energy has determined that millions of jobs would be lost. Since Democrats in Congress have failed to get a cap-and-trade bill to the president's desk ahead of the Copenhagen summit, President Obama took unilateral action this week to pile more regulation on the backs of families and small businesses in the name of combating global warming.
Yeah, that's the problem. The squeeze of the middle class and thinking of electricity and how the prices, I do think they will skyrocket. And this congresswoman does quote the president right. He did say that when he was asked about it, saying that ultimately things would even out. But that was Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, by the way. And I've seen, like I said, I've seen people fall down on both sides of this. Because you can be for conserving. You can be for recycling, doing other things, all that sort of stuff, but not supportive of the overall umbrella terms related to global warming. I mean, do I think there could be a water shortage? Absolutely. Do I think water is what everybody's going to try to hoard and sell at sky-high prices because they realize it? You bet. Think of some of the third world countries. But do I think the glaciers are melting and we're going to get covered over it at no time? You can imagine how fast this will happen, that grandchildren will be the ones who will really be screwed in this whole thing. No, I don't think so. Not by the scientific evidence that is out there that refutes a lot of the other things that are being told to back up so-called global warming. And like I said, I'm someone who does support trying to do what you can to keep your cities clean, to, you know, try to not dump pollutants all over the place, etc. You know, we see people do some ridiculous things and things that if everybody did their part, of course, would lead to perhaps cleaner water, better circumstances. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about on a much bigger stage. And ultimately, what is the price that you and I will have to pay, and can we afford it? You just better get a big bank. I'm serious. Throw your change in it, but throw a lot of change in it so that you've got. It's almost like, you know, when I was a kid, my first bank account, my mother taught me about banking. Oh, it was a Christmas club, it was called. And you put in, I don't know how much it was a month, probably some low amount, whatever it was, 20 bucks a month. But for me, I was really, really young. It was huge. Like, whoa, I'm at the end. I get all this money. And here I can use it for Christmas. I can use it to go away, whatever. And this is probably what's going to have to happen with electricity, because you're not going to be able to pay those bills. And then, as somebody said to me, a friend of mine said, who missed a bill because they were away, then the envelopes start to come to you and they're pink. That means you pay or we turn off. We turn off, then you're either going to be really, really warm or you're going to be really, really cold, depending on the time of year. And think of what you need that is powered by electricity. And we can we afford to go and get windmills? And the answer to that is, of course we can't. I mean, if we could all afford it, sure, why not? Let's go throwback. Let's go retro if we could afford to do it. But again, the problem is it is not cost effective. Hey, coming up in this hour, of course, we'll give you the latest on the healthcare tug of war. It's getting down and dirty at this point. You know, it's the same drill. It's the same thing that we've been talking about for the past 4 or 5 months. I mean, of course, even way before that. But now it's down to the white knuckle time. Will there actually be a vote on this that counts? Will it happen before the holidays or no? Just more conversation. We'll see what happens when we get back. 800-259-5791. You can jump into the conversation whenever you want. We're going to talk about rules of engagement in Afghanistan next on ATM.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50% 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
This before with Afghanistan, you know, now we've got the more troops that are coming in, and a lot of them will be there before Christmas, which is good. But at the same time, here's part of the problem. It's no secret the toughest thing for these Marines especially is deciding whether or not to pull the trigger, and they don't know, because a lot has to do with the rules of war against the insurgents. So I happened to catch this NPR Pentagon correspondent, a guy named Tom Bowman, and I heard a little bit of him on the air, and I thought, wow, that's interesting stuff. And I think they've reprinted, or you can go to NPR or whatever, and they've reprinted the story, and it was interesting to hear his take on this. And in talking about what is the choice, they have the choice between killing the enemy or risking civilian lives. You know what they do? They let the enemy go because they're grappling with whether to shoot or not, and they can't take the chance. So what happened was General McChrystal stepped in and, of course, tightened up the rules on when you can fire. And he did it because there were civilian casualties in Afghanistan, and there were people that were starting to scream false, foul, bad. You know, we don't understand why you're in our country, and then we've got all these casualties or collateral damage as a result of it. So this has to be a massive dilemma. How do you're armed? You're trying to kill insurgents. You're trying to get to insurgents who are trying to kill you, by the way. But the only thing you can do is you can only fire when you're very, very sure of your targets. And how can you always be 100% sure of your targets? Because you've got people digging around on the roadside. You may be in a village and there's somebody that's mixed in with the people, which of course is always a dilemma anyway. And, you know, what happens if you intercept radio traffic, but yet you're certainly near Afghanistan people that are somewhere in the vicinity of what's happening? And the answer is you can't do anything. I mean, you can't. What are you going to do? And he gave specific examples of being with the troops or talking to the troops, you know, being over there and talking to the troops. And that's what every single one of them said, that they're hearing, that they're all complaining about the rules of engagement that are too restrictive. And they're wondering, it's so frustrating if it's reaching the top levels. So, and General McChrystal said, you know, there's a lot of times it looks one way, it looks completely convincing, and then what you saw was incomplete. And then you find civilian casualties who are unarmed. So they don't want to take that risk. So there's going to be more and more widespread frustration among the troops who are out there grinding it out day after day. Their hands are tied when they go in after the insurgents. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So certainly, do you want to have horrific headlines and have people in villages blown up? Of course not. But that has to be beyond frustrating, because you're trying to protect the guys around you. You have a job. I mean, that's the whole thing, as many of you know that have been in the military. That's the whole thing. You want to execute your orders. You want to do what you're supposed to be doing. You're trying to do it. And, you know, you had to let people go. I mean, you weren't able to shoot because you didn't have a clear cut with the target. But it can be very, very blurry from what we know, from the reports that we've seen, from things that have been made public. I really, really feel for people who are serving in Afghanistan. It has to be one of the toughest times ever, period, to serve. It really does. I mean, because before, depending on the wars that we want to talk about, and I've talked to plenty of people who've served, you know, that's the whole idea, shoot to kill, take the enemy down. Of course, you're not trying to kill civilians, but now civilians are so commingled in all of this. Hey, the Taliban's not stupid. Of course they're doing that. Al-Qaeda, of course they're doing that. Bert in St. Louis, you have the floor. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Oh, just calling on your rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
It's so problematic on so many levels that it's just hard to imagine it's even came to this point. Number one, if you look at it from the insurgents or any enemy's perspective, now that you're aware of this policy, where is the safest place you can be?
Among the people.
Among the civilians.
Mm-hmm.
So its first effect is to actually negatively impact what it's supposed to do. It actually increases the propensity for civilians to get harmed.
Sure, because they use them as shields. They know exactly what they're doing, absolutely.
Oh, that's right, and they have enough problem with that already. We saw that with the using of mosques. Well, some mosques are literally military installations. Just in fact, you know, they harbor weapons and training. But the other thing is now is that insurgents can simply insert themselves into households and villages and civilian functions of marriages and funerals or whatever other type of things that go on, and they're perfectly immune from American fire.
Mm.
And the other reprehensible thing about it is what it does is to our military personnel who are serving over in the theater, it just serves as a basis for the criminalization of what they were originally put there to do, which is fight the enemy and kill them.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
And so this is just so, like I said, so fundamentally convoluted on many levels that It's not a savory position for our soldiers to be there. And unfortunately, what it is, again, is the micromanagement of war by Washington, D.C. And if you want to lose a war, have Washington, D.C. micromanage it.
Yeah, absolutely. No truer words were ever spoken. Bert, thanks.
Sure.
All right, I agree with Bert. That's the problem. The politics of war have really, really gotten in the way. Nobody, no general wants to have dead people on his hands. No, they don't want to have that. They don't want to have that in any of the wars that were fought. But at the same time, it's a different deal when you're there on the ground. So it doesn't excuse ridiculous behavior or rogue soldiers or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it's laughable from the other side because, as Bert said, and as I've been saying, it's just too easy to use the people, and that's exactly what they're going to do. Okay, that's how the Americans want to play it. That's perfect because we'll go amongst the people. We'll set off the bombs. You know, it's that whole jihadist deal and just walking into public. But even beyond that, because now we're talking about Afghanistan, so not as populated as Iraq was, and green zones that are very, very much different, and a people that are illiterate for the most part and who can easily be swayed. So now, again, you still use the theory of being close or near the people or just assimilating like the people. So even if you see something funny that you know is not right, you cannot respond to it. And that's a problem because if your hands are tied, what do you do? You know, I mean, honestly, if I were in that situation, I care about executing the orders. I care about taking out the insurgents. I care about protecting my unit. I'm part of the brotherhood. I'm part of the unit. You know, never leave a man behind. You know that expression. So I can't even imagine not being able to do what I needed to do in these horrific situations, whether you're in a village somewhere or just trying to avoid those roadside bombs, which are still heavily, heavily, heavily used in Afghanistan, just like you saw in Iraq. And again, just like the injuries and why the injuries and that we've seen from Iraq and we've seen from Afghanistan. Well, the reason why is because of the IEDs, of course. And there are some vehicles who can withstand it, but not a lot of them can. Still, even a lot of the tanks that go through the rough roads or mountainous terrain, they can't withstand some of the roadside bombs. Mm. By the way, the first contingent of new U.S. forces, like I said, a Marine unit, will be in place by Christmas. You can throw in your two cents about rules of engagement, 800-259-5791.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carostove. Carostove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. Carostove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together two family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With carolstove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at carolstove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with carolstove.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
My tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. The morning rain clouds up my window and I can't see it all.
All right, we're talking about the rules of engagement. Now we have more troops, of course, going over, and a new strategy, supposedly in Afghanistan, and even the president saying in an interview on 60 Minutes that after a year we'll review, see what's working, all that kind of stuff. But if the idea is to kill the insurgents, let's face it, or get them to change their mind, that's not happening as much as I think the soldiers would like to see happen. And the reason why is because sometimes they have to let the enemy go. They have no choice. And the reason why is because of these very tight rules of engagement that have been changed for the troops in that country. But Crystal took over back in May. He had to tighten up the rules because he was under fire or under strict orders that you could not have these civilian casualties. So it is something that, of course, is naturally a dilemma for the guys that are in uniform over there. They want to kill the bad guys. They want to kill the insurgents who, of course, are trying to kill them. But they can only fire, and that is their job requirement. They can only fire when they're very, very sure of their targets. And then the problem is, you know, as I said, I heard the NPR correspondent talking about it and saying that, you know, giving examples for one of the examples he gave is being in this command center watching a video screen, and they're watching these guys live digging a hole for a roadside bomb. And so that's an indication, right? That's what they're digging the hole for. Then there was a guy apparently swimming across a canal with this wire, and the wires would obviously be used to detonate the bomb. And then you've got these two other guys running wires across the canal to the one side to an IED. So they're watching them. They're watching them on the video, and they're keeping track of it. And the Marines were intercepting things going back and forth between them, sort of radio things, and talking about planting a bomb. And so obviously it appeared that they were insurgents. So what did they do? They had all this information, right, especially from this live video. And this is what caught my attention when he was talking about this on the air. So they had all these indications of what was happening about planting a bomb. And then they were going to use a machine gun to shoot them. But then there was another combat outpost that wasn't too far away. But the problem was there were houses between where the Marines were, right, with their machine guns, and then the guys planting the bombs. You know what they did? They decided, we can't do this. We're going to have to try to bring in helicopters. We're going to have to try to do something that way because we can't. Right now we have them in our grasp, but we can't shoot them. We can't do it. So, of course, by the time all that happens, they're gone. And then you know what they've done. Planted a bomb. Great. Hopefully you've got your sights on that anyway. Mike is listening to us in St. Louis. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kate. Great show. I love your show. I was calling in. When I was in Kosovo in Macedonia in 98-99, one of our first casualties of our unit that we took out from the enemies was a 14-year-old kid because he was shooting at us with an AK-47. Mm. You know, there's times that rules of engagement doesn't matter because you're at war.
Right.
We are endangering our troops. We're hurting our troops by putting all these laws and rules that the enemy doesn't go by. Only we have to go by.
Yeah, and that's got to be tough. I mean, did you guys talk? You must have talked about that. And you didn't have, and you had rules of engagement to deal with, obviously. But now you see they're even more restrictive, even with video sites, etc. Doesn't that make it pretty tough to really have a chance to get as many insurgents as you can?
It makes it kind of ridiculous. We're sending these boys over there boys and girls, I'm sorry, and we're sending them over there to defend other people and other nations. And like I found out, what we were defending in 98-99 were Muslims. You know, we were saving them, and now they're turning around and destroying our troops and our people, you know?
Yeah, crazy, isn't it? It's a mixed-up world, I'll tell you. And you think there should be a different set of rules of engagement, right, Mike?
More like what Patton had.
Yeah, exactly.
War. We've won many wars before. And I say this week after week on your show, America knows how to win wars, and I don't know why we're not doing it.
Yeah, good point, Mike. Thanks, as always. We appreciate your perspective. Thanks.
Thank you.
800-259-5791. Why aren't we doing it? Stu in Kentucky. Hello, Stu.
Hey, Katie. Well, Mike took the words out of my mouth. I'm just curious. Who the hell put rules of engagement in war? I thought, you know, part of war was casualties war, unfortunately, but there's no rules in war. Where do they come up with rules for a war? I don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, they're saying.
I mean, if they would have went by rules during Vietnam, when the 7-year-old kid was carrying a bomb to blow up our soldiers, they would have never shot and killed that child.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, you're right. The problem is you're going to have some civilian casualties, you are. But how are you possibly going to claim victory, or how are you going to be able to help the people of Afghanistan if you can't knock out the people who are the insurgents, the ones who are trying to kill you?
Well, and Mike said, you know, we're over there defending their people. Let's not forget, we didn't go over there intentionally to defend their people. We went over there to defeat the Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And too many people forget too many times that that's why we're actually there to begin with. And Mike's absolutely right on everything else. And he's definitely right. You know that we have defended more Muslims during the war. The Muslim faith, the Muslim right, or the right to have Muslim faith during a war than any other country.
Yeah. That's nutty,
absolutely,
isn't it?
I mean, it is, and that's what really just kicks you off. But, yeah, I was sitting there, and I've been listening over the weekend. I thought, the hell come up with rules of engagement for war? I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, if somebody comes up and smacks me in the head, I'm going to bite, pinch, claw. I'm going to be like a cat fight when it's over with, whatever it takes to win. You know, I don't know. I don't get it. I guess, you know.
No, I agree with you.
It's a shame that they do that.
I agree with you. It's because they don't want to have any negative headlines for the rest of the world to criticize. Oh, we torture. How could we do that? Look at these people. We're slaughtered. It's the American soldiers. Well, how could this happen? This is ridiculous. Blah, blah, blah. Why are they there? Or whatever. All that sort of stuff. It's a public, it's a war. It's a war being fought, politically. And that's it.
Since when do we care what other countries think?
I agree with you, but now
we have always done what it takes to defend our country. I mean,
yeah.
World War II, we set back. We didn't care what other countries thought when we dropped the bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We didn't care about that. We still don't care about it. We didn't, you know, it was just like, I don't know, I guess when politics gets into war, you know, which, I mean, it's just all political, but... You know, when you can't, and especially when liberals get into it, man, it's just, it's like they want everybody to like us and everybody to say, wow, they're a bunch of nice guys. Nice
yeah.
People, you know, and oh, well, let's not, you know, let's not make America mad. They will help us any way they can, and they don't want to hurt our people. You know, it's stupid, and it aggravates you, and especially when you know groups that are over there and they're working hard, they're over there doing what they have to defend their country, and they're putting more and more rules on them, and these guys got enough things on them, you know, they're waiting their families for a year at a time, and sometimes longer, they're, you know, they're not getting to see their children on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and their birthdays, and we really don't realize sometimes, and I guess even on Veterans Day, you know, we all sit back and we know it's Veterans Day, and we recognize these people that have given up these things that we take every day for granted. We take for granted. I mean, I get up out of bed every morning, and I can't tell a lie. And there's not a lot of people that do it. I mean, I get up out of bed every morning, and I don't think, man, there's somebody over there that's sleeping in a tent, you know, sacrificing, trying to keep us safe over here. You get what I'm saying? I mean, and we eat a good dinner in there, and you eat MRIs. Or not MRIs, what are they, meal rations.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Sure.
You know, and they're over there eating them, and they're getting shot at every day. And like I said, we don't think about that here, man. And that's and then, you know, you want to put things on them. And those guys have families here. They have kids here. They have wives, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters, parents, grandparents. And we're not thinking about it at all while we're, you know, putting more rules on them and making it harder for them to do their job and come home safely. And I think that's the sad part of it.
I agree with you, absolutely, Stu. That is the sad part of it. We're nobody's thinking about that. It's too bad more people aren't thinking about it. Drive safely.
Thanks, Kate.
And it's like you said, you're not thinking about people eating the MREs and what they're going through and the camel spiders that are all over their, you know, the wraps that they have to put on themselves and just the conditions that you have to deal with when you're in the military. But it's not that these guys are complaining about the conditions. It's the frustration over the rules of engagement, because give me the job. I want to do the job. It's carrying out the orders, but the frustration over carrying out the orders, I can't imagine. You know, what happens? You're debating. You're going back and forth. We have them in our sights. Sarge, what should we do? Well, you know, what else? What else are we seeing out there at 10 o'clock? And you know, what are they going to do? Because they're for fear of somebody else being killed, they have to be very, very hesitant about when they're pulling the trigger. Some might say that's a good thing, but I don't see how. I don't see how you win this war against the terrorists if you can't even engage them. 800-259-5791.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try liquid zeolite today.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in 1 day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary?
The system is rigged.
These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court.
Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute.
Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic. No negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now. 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
Afghanistan is that the soldiers and the Marines, more specifically, they have to protect the population, the Afghanistan population. So kill the enemy, possibly risk civilian lives, not even a question. They have to let the enemy go, and that's starting to happen more and more and frustrating the guys that are there on the front line beyond belief. What a dilemma for these guys who are sacrificing it all on the line. Wow. Fair or foul, America, what say you? Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show. Closer to home, and on the minds of so many people here, of course, not so much Afghanistan, sad to say. I think Stu hit the nail on the head. I mean, how many times are people really thinking about what's going on and the sacrifices that are being made? Hopefully more are thinking about it than we believe. One thing we're thinking about on our shores is what's the deal about health care? And we say, what's the deal about health care? Because at first it seemed like, all right, so now you have these hoops that you have to jump through in the Senate. And initially, Harry Reid said, well, everybody's going to want to throw in their opinions. So by the time you go through the debating segment of this, we'll never have anything ready before the holiday break, so that it'll go into the next year. Now, because of some compromises that have been made as of last week, it looks like there is a little bit of a possibility, the door is open anyway, that you might actually have a vote on this. And why do you care about this? Because it's going to affect your health care coverage, unless you die before it all kicks in. You know, and I mean that in all seriousness. I don't care if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever age that you happen to be in. At some point, this will touch you in some way. Is it going to be in a good way or is it going to be in a negative way? Well, the selling of it is that it's going to be in a positive way, if you believe what you're hearing from those who are supporting the bill. But the cost, you know, I mean, here's the problem. It's the cost, the cost, the cost. It keeps coming back down to that. I mean, if somebody could come out there and say, if somebody stood in front of this and said, listen, I mean, this is, there's some things I don't like about this bill that could turn into a law, but I'm just going to assure you, if you work for a small business or if you're the owner of a small business, we're not going to cripple you. There's just no way. Nobody's going to pay any higher premiums. So if you're paying your $100 a month, your $200 a month, your whatever, you're not, don't worry. We're going to clean things up and we're going to work with the work to really clamp down on the insurance companies. But no, it's massive confusion, really. It's a smokescreen. I mean, I think, because I'm trying to get those answers and I'm not getting that. So Senator Joe Lieberman has his take on this. And Senator Joe Lieberman told the majority leader, Harry Reid, they had a meeting on Sunday, that he's going to vote against the health care bill that includes a public option or any kind of a provision that would expand Medicare. He said that, you know, he doesn't agree and he has some massive concerns about where it sits now. So apparently he was very direct. He's going to vote against the bill if the Medicare buy-in and public option provisions remain in it. Anyway, part of the Sunday swirl, he was on CBS's Face the Nation along with Mitch McConnell. And here was, here specifically in his own words, is his take.
On the basic bill, about 2,000 pages, we all know what's in it. But on this, on these compromises, which my friends tell me really were not agreed on, as Ben said, but just they agreed that they were interesting enough to send to get analyzed by the budget office. Senator Reid has decided that if you let them out, they'll get mauled. And it puts us all in a very difficult position because we don't know exactly what's in them. But I will tell you that on one part of it, the so-called Medicare buy-in, the opposition to it has been growing as the week has gone on. Though I don't know exactly what's in it, from what I hear, I certainly would have a hard time voting for it because it has some of the same infirmities that the public option did. It will add taxpayer costs. It will add to the deficit. It's unnecessary. The basic bill, which is has a lot of good things in it, provides a generous new system of subsidies for people between ages 55 and 65 and choice and competition. So, you know, Bob, I think we're at a, they're not 60 votes for health care reform in the Senate now. We're at a point where, and yet the basis of the bill, covering 30 million people who can't buy insurance today, regulating insurance companies so they treat consumers more fairly.
Yeah, you heard what he said. There are some things that are decent in the bill, but he couldn't go, Lieberman can't go in that direction because, again, of the monetary aspects of it and the how it's unnecessary, some of the things that are being taught. So Lieberman is definitely opposing it the way it is, and that's got to be a huge setback for the people who are hoping that the reform will work. Remember, he's independent, and there have been all these policy compromises, and this supposedly is the last true chance to corral all the votes they need. Well, Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, you've heard Stu talk about him last week, and supposedly he's making his own little deals, as all the senators are trying to do. What's in it for them? What would the amendments be included in the health care bill or in other measures that are out there? Anyway, here was his take.
The American people are saying, please don't pass this. Your own CBS poll indicated opposition. The CNN poll said 61% were opposed and only 36% in favor. The government's actuary down at the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services said that it will drive up health care costs by $250 billion. Republicans, uniformly, without exception, believe that cutting $500 billion out of Medicare, raising $400 billion in new taxes, and providing the increase, the actual increase in health insurance premiums for everybody else, is not reform. So you can see why, Bob, the Democrats are deeply divided. I doubt if those adjustments that were suggested by my three colleagues representing three different points of view about this bill right before me would get there. I think they're in serious trouble on this, and the core problem is the American people do not want us to pass it.
All right, so here's the deal. They've got to pick somebody that's, if they're going to pick up votes, then they would need Olympia Snow, the Republican from Maine. But she's not happy about the Medicare buy-in provision. So could you persuade Lieberman? I don't think so. It's sounding like there's a lot of things that he doesn't like, and it's not just one particular thing like the Medicare deal. If they don't do the, if they can't get the votes, then the final thing, of course, is reconciliation. It's a, we talked about this last week, it's a parliamentary procedure rule, out clause if you want, that would allow the Democrats to pass chunks of the health care reform by up or down vote. And even then, there are problems associated with it. I mean, come on. And they're very hesitant to go in this direction. It's not even on the table at this point. So healthcare reform, is it going to really pass? You know what? I'm thinking, no, it's not going to pass. You heard Lieberman say they do not have the 60 votes. Even though you keep hearing the opposite thing, it doesn't look like this is going to happen. You know, it's interesting, too. You see the Canadian healthcare system. We've talked to Sam and we've talked to Al and other people who have called in and said, you do not want this. And even if they say, well, it's different than the Canadians. I mean, their healthcare system is blowing apart as we speak. They're having so many problems in their operating rooms and the surgeries. And all that stuff, and in the reductions, they've had a cost cut there, and they don't have enough surgeons, they don't have enough doctors, and we certainly don't want to have our government managing the system to end up in the same boat as the Canadians are, which is not a good place to be, right? If it looks too good, seems too good, it is too good. That's my motto, man.
I'm not back in 5 minutes. Just wait longer.